Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Well, let me see. Just start. I'm talking. Let's start. Hey, what? Off last night because I actually went to a meeting. Actually, a little bit of a debate. Not a whole lot of debate because it was a school board candidates for school board. There's five of them and. They were so interested in showing us who they were that only two of them showed up. And it was actually a conservative club in Springfield here. And they call young conservatives. And then fortunately, two of the conservatives show up, but the other ones didn't. So that's kind of typical. You know, I guess they figure, you know, they like to spend their money and the gentlemen last night were a lot more conservative than the other ones. That's just the way it is. And, and of course, I think about 30 people showed. So let me think. There's how many people in the Springfield area and 30 people showed? Hey, guess what? That's about half of what the amount of people who are going to vote in the election is going to be. So what do you think of that? Hey, hello, everybody. But anyway, that was a lot of fun. That was Don Carricker and Carl Hurd that was on. I will have them on in the future before the election, which is April 5th. Or even better, you can meet most of these people, the city council and the school board members who were up for election at April 2nd at the tea party we're going to be having here in Springfield at Old Cartoons over on Glenstone, just north of Sunshine, about a block and a half. We're going to be outside and inside. It is April. We plan this time to make sure that if it rains, like it did last time, that we could actually go inside, and it's going to be packed, hopefully. But that's up to you people if you care to see who these people are running. You know, this really bothers me. You've got these people running. And probably in the election, plus there's some ballot issues, and in the election is going to be about, 10% on a good election day. No, 20% on a good election day, probably 10 to 12% they're actually going to show up. So the election consists of city council candidates and consists of school board members. Also, a couple ballot measures. This is in Springfield, mind you. One of them is that the busybodies think they're going to push legislation to force everyone to not be able to smoke in bars and a lot of restaurants. There's already a restriction anyway, but it's not making the busybody smoking Nazis happy. So they decide they want to force everybody to do that. You know, so I guess we'll just have a bunch of places closed because the customers won't show up. And what gets me the most, people, is the fact that, you know something? You don't have to go in these places if you don't like it. So please tell me why you have to. Anyway, if you'd like to join us, we're going to have Christopher Donegan come on in a second here. The number to call if you'd like to talk to Christopher, he's running for city council. And I don't know Christopher. This is my first time. I actually like it when I don't know these people. Unless they're on the other side of the aisle. Of course, I would think the Republicans probably think I'm on the other side of the aisle, but I think actually what I think is that Democrats and Republicans are on the other side of the aisle because they act so much like each other half the time. So what do you think of that one? Anyway, I like it when I don't know the candidate. Therefore, we can all get to know and learn who these people are because, frankly, let's not kid anybody. Most of us don't even know who these people are anyway. So he's going to be calling in a couple minutes here. We'll see if he's going to attend the tea party. And I really hope that we have great attendance. I'm I've heard from a lot of people that they plan on showing up, and I, you know, with the election the way it is, I talk to people still, and they're like, "Oh, there's an election coming up." Yeah. Oh well, but they can't figure out why it's like that. So anyway, all right, we're gonna go ahead and pick up the phone here, and let me see here. Okay. All righty. Are you on there, buddy? Okay, hold on here. Hello there. Are you there, Christopher?
I'm okay. I'm here, yes.
All righty, Christopher. This is Super Dave. I don't think we've ever met, have we?
Yeah, we've met at a couple of the tea parties.
Oh, okay. Well, that just goes to show you. I apologize. I wasn't for sure. Oh, so you must be a conservative guy.
I am.
Well, I noticed you were in finance. So, hey, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you tell everybody who you are and why you think – well, let's start out with who you are and what your background is, because you would like to be on city council.
Yes. So
what makes you
think you would
be on city council?
What made me decide to run?
Yeah, what made you decide to run, really?
Yeah, sure. Well, I was the mayoral candidate in 2009, the Republican one, and for Springfield City Council, and – I wanted a chance to, you know, to run again. The mayor's vote is just as important as anyone else's on the council, and this is a general seat, and that's why I chose general seat C. I'm a Zone 4 resident, and I've lived in Springfield since 1995. I'm married. I've been married for 13 years, and I'm only 33, so you do the math. And I've got two kids. I've got a 10-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I've been in finance ever since I graduated from Missouri State in 99, and worked at Drury and worked at People's Bank, and I've currently worked at Zero Auto Sales here in Springfield.
So you actually know a little bit about finance?
A little bit. I do car title loans as my main business. We also do car financing, and then like I said before that, I was at a bank, and we did mortgages, and before that I was in education collection.
That's a tough business right now, isn't it? More car financing?
Well, we do our own financing, so it's just a matter of getting people approved and finding the right risks, I guess. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, please have a job, right? You know,
that's a big part of it. And I'll be honest with you, it's just the attitude of people probably nationwide of how they look at car financing has really changed.
Well, why do you say that? I haven't financed a car in a long time, so.
Well, the reason why I say that is, you know, 20 years ago, the idea of a repo on your credit bureau, or the idea of a defaulted loan was just something you just never wanted to see, and now there's people that's just standard operating procedure.
Really? Wow. You know what, though? These last few years have been kind of tough, and I noticed that the finance companies have changed their attitude about a lot of this stuff. They're not taking people to court as much, and
right.
You know, a lot of that, isn't there?
Yeah, I told a gentleman today that came in this morning that actually, even if I get a judgment against him, I'm not going to push for a garnishment as long as he pays what we agreed to pay on a monthly basis. So,
you know, and I commend you for that, because too many times it's totally the opposite. You know, it's like, well, you're just, yeah. I'm a hard person in some ways. In other ways, it's like everybody's a person, and a lot. You know, you don't know what's going on until you find out what their background is. Now, obviously, with what you do, you know, a lot of people, they don't give a rat's patoot either way. I mean, it's more important they have their they get drunk every night or smoke cigarettes than it is to make their car payment. Now, if that's the case, that's probably someone you can't finance.
Right, and what, you know, we just, like I said, that's just something you have to weigh, and you know, we try to work with people, but a lot of people allow, you know, family situations and things to overtake their lives so much, though, that they don't even attempt to try to make payments. Those are the people that I have to take a harder line on, are the folks that, you know, a $300 a month car payment, if you're making $50 or $60 a month, at least you're showing an effort. Zero is not an effort.
No, exactly. Yeah, I, and you know, but anyway, I didn't mean to get into that so much. I was just kind of curious because these are the same people who are going to be voting. You know, well, I take it back. You would hope they'd vote, but let's not kid anybody. Doesn't it bother you, though, that Springfield in particular has a terrible percentage of people that go to the polls?
I'll tell you what Springfield has, and this is my third time being a candidate in Greene County, second time for just the city of Springfield, but we have a lot of registered voters who only choose to vote every 2 years or 4 years, and we also have, unfortunately, a large number of people that are low-income folks that are not even registered to vote, and these are people in their 40s, their 50s, and their 60s, not registered to vote.
You know, I'm a big believer. I'm pretty conservative. I'm a big believer, though, that if you're living off the government, you shouldn't be voting. I just don't believe, you know, people who are on welfare and all that should be voting, because it's like, if you're not contributing, why should you be voting? It's almost like the government union workers who find a candidate that they can elect so they can get the more lucrative contracts.
The only thing I would argue on that is if we get more and more people that are depending on the government for their check and they're out there voting, then that maybe democracy or the republic as we know it will continue to decay, because what's the old saying, when the public realizes they can vote themselves a raise or a paycheck, then democracy is dead. So
right, and that's exactly why government unions should never ever be allowed to happen.
And
where are you on
that
one?
We have I'll tell you, it's unfortunate that we have a public union in Springfield with our firefighters or members of. I mean, it's a union, but it has public workers in it, and they come out and they support candidates that will do their bidding, if you will.
Yes.
When it comes tax time.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I agree 100%, and that shouldn't happen. And look, I know a lot of the firemen and policemen know me. I played cop in St. Louis for a little bit, but it doesn't matter. You know, you can vote for, you know, because I had a discussion with the new fire chief, went through that, and it was pretty fiery. But that's when they were wanting the tax increase, because the previous administration had done exactly what we're talking about. You know, not, I shouldn't say the previous administrations, you know, are the ones that gave, that worked this deal out with the firemen and policemen and ended up giving them all kinds of money that nobody kept track of and nobody, you know, took care of. And all of a sudden, it's called, let's go to the taxpayers. We can't
do
that.
And I'll tell you, I asked the question of my opponent at the Young Conservatives debate a week ago. I asked, did he vote for Tom Finney? And if yes, why? Luckily, I didn't know the answer to this. He did not vote Tom Finney on the Board of Public Utilities, and that's a vote I 100% agree with. And if I'm elected to city council, I will make sure that he does not get reappointed, or at least I'll try to make sure he doesn't get reappointed to our Board of Public Utilities, because he's the manager who mismanaged.
That doesn't seem to matter in politics, though. Because if you keep the voters stupid, they don't know the difference, and they go, yeah, I remember that guy. I think he did something once. Let's vote for him. You know, it's the voters, no doubt, are uninformed. And, like, how many – from what I understand, were there very many people at the Young Conservatives – I didn't get to go because I had a show to do. Was there very many people there last week?
25.
Yeah. You know what, though? I kind of jump on the other radio stations right now. I'm currently not on broadcast radio again yet, but it's going to happen. But, you know, they really don't push these very much to have people show up at these things. So nobody's there. And then when you're going through all this work, and I guarantee it's going to be the same 20 to 30 people who are there. Am I right?
Right. Now, I will say the League of Women Voters last night, there was about 60, probably maybe 70. So that was better. That was probably better attended. I think it's hard when it's a church night to have a debate on a Wednesday night. That was probably tough. So,
but they got church. Well, yeah, okay, it's Lent. That's right. Yeah, that's probably poor planning, especially in Springfield, because church comes before. You know, I understand that in a way, but I guess part of my problem is the fact that when you're elected, city council's elected, as I try to tell people all the time, you're electing people who have access to your wallets. It is.
I agree. You know, well, yeah, we just voted. We voted in 2009 for, you know, for a $150 million tax increase, and that's what we got. So.
So, you know, when people vote, they don't even pay attention. But it, I think if you the more we teach people that when they go to the polls, that the people they're voting for, you know, whoever it is, has access to their wallets, that might make a difference, because it seems like money talks when it comes to elections. But no offense, most candidates don't do that. Most of them just talk about all the things they're going to do differently. And frankly, I think you've got a few people care, but I think most people don't give a rat's patoot.
Are you talking about the issues? You're talking about the money part of it.
Well, no, the money they care about. It's the issues,
right.
I think they'll say things about. But if you start grabbing their wallets, I tell you what, especially in Springfield here, I'll tell you, that's going to have a much bigger effect than a lot of things. You know,
I'll give you an example. 20,000 people in February of 2009 came out because there was a tax issue on the ballot. And 2 months later, only 13,000 people came out to elect the city councilmen and women that were going to represent them. And that's why I think that this time around, because we have issues on the ballot and not a tax on the ballot again, I expect a little bit lower turnout than we had in February of 2009.
Well, let me ask you about the ballot initiatives. Let's start with the smoking one. Where do you stand on that one?
I'm opposed to it. I've put out reasons. Of course, I feel like the business owner should have the right to make decisions in his or her own establishment. Number two, I felt like I would have been principally opposed to an additional smoking ban. I think Councilman Ibarra and some of the other councilmen were on the right track in creating a compromise bill that they would have voted on, and Clean Air Springfield said all or nothing. And that's the third reason why I think that we shouldn't do it, is because it's this idea, it's this all or nothing approach that the people are taking want to tell us where and when we can quote use a legal substance. That's what Jerry Compton says: use a legal substance legally.
You know, and what is this thing that we have about going in? You know, most of the people who are going to vote have never been in most of these places where they allow smoking. And what do they think gives them the right to go in there and say, you know, we don't want you to allow smoking? There's all these places here. Houlihan's ran a commercial, if I understand, promoting the clean air bill, okay? Clean air bill, if you could actually believe that's what it is. They're doing that. And it bothered me, because it's like, then when this comes up and somebody wants to push something on what is happening to you, let's all remember this if this passes. Because Houlihan's is guilty, plus a lot of these other places. And it really bothers me that they actually think they have a right to step in someone else's business.
Well, the businesses, there are businesses that currently allow smoking that are for it. And the reasoning behind it, and you can go look up KY3 and some of the other media, they have video of it. It's because they call it an even playing field. There are owners that want to have a smoke-free environment, but they're not willing to go ahead and, without government mandates, make that decision for their own business, because they're afraid that the people then will go to their competition. So when you get government involved, the biggest pro for these people is, if everybody in the city votes for it and they outlaw the smoking, then you can't go anywhere. Now you actually have to go outside of the city to a restaurant if you want to smoke in it, and it creates that even playing field. But what it does is, they don't want to step up themselves and create policies for their own business that they think are right. They want the government to step in and hurt other businesses.
And that's crazy. That is absolute nuts. It makes me so mad. What gives them the right to do that? That's why we have to single these places out and say, honestly, we got to single them out and say, this is the place not to go to. Those are the places that, like you and I, you know, when we see them on the Clean Air Springfield, when that's out there, those are the places we ought to go ahead and say, we're not going in here ever again. I have no desire to go to Houlihan's and a lot of these other places, because it's wrong what they're trying to do.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to tell you, there's in St. Louis, there's a place where they decided before they come, they don't have that law as far as bars and restaurants go. And there was a place there that was horrible smoking. I never went in there, okay? I spoke with my dollar, you know, and with my wallet. But anyway, somebody bought it. They made it totally smoke-free, and the place is packed. Nobody forced them to do it. They did it, and the place was packed. Why aren't these places doing this? Why do they have to have, you know, the voters, you know, 15% of the voters make a decision on something that they could do on their own? That's crazy. So I don't mean to keep going on, but it bothers me.
Right, and the only other thing I would say about the smoking ban is the smoking ban we enacted in 2000, I think, in 2002, there were restaurants that spent money to comply with that ordinance, and all that money is just going to be flushed if this passes. Ziggy's and places like that that took the money and the time to cordon off an area for smokers, to put in a filtration system. I mean, there are businesses that spent thousands of dollars, and we're just telling them, thanks for spending the money. Now we're going to outlaw it completely, and that just sends the wrong message to business. So.
I agree 100%, and that's where we have problems. You know, we cannot – this is hit and miss. I mean, they're no different than Obama up there with Obamacare. I mean, to me, it's the same thing. All right, let's go to the other ballot issue because we're trying to figure out who Christopher Donovan is. Okay, what about the other ballot issue as far as the theaters?
I'm opposed to that one too, and I'll tell you the main reason I am is this is almost like an ordinance that was created by – I don't know. I mean, it's almost like I can't even say. I mean, I know that there are people behind it or the DUI task force, but they said let's exempt the Moxie because mostly older people go to it, or at least people of age go to it, and let's go ahead and just focus on the Wehrenberg Theater. They also exempted Hammond's Field and some of these other places where minors are going to be at with alcohol, and for that matter, the Moxie Cinema. 18, 19, and 20-year-olds go to the Moxie Cinema. And if they have a drink, I guess that's okay. You know, and I'm not saying it's okay, but they're not going to allow this ban to affect both Moxie and Wehrenberg because it's popular to have alcohol at the Moxie Cinema because a lot of the people that are, well-to-do downtown want to drink and watch movies.
You know, it's almost like, what's the point, isn't it? You know, and honestly, I got to give you credit. It's like people like you need to be on more. You know, need to be on a city council because we need some decent people up there who aren't going to allow this to happen. You know, this is crazy. Okay, you've got a financial background. What do you think of how Springfield spends their money?
Well, I think we at the Young Conservatives meeting. Told us that, you know, of course, that the debt, we all guessed what the debt was at Springfield, and some of us were closer than others, but it's $405 million right now. And every time that we promote the CIP tax, you know, for capital improvements, we have a list of projects, so that's more money that we want to spend, and we leave very little for actual debt service. And I just, one of the things we need to do is we need to, I think, take a break from, adding more and more projects to a list, and we need to start paying off the projects that have already been completed in the past.
Isn't that what you do at home if you're out of money? Or do you just go ahead and say, you know, while I'm thinking about it, let's go ahead and put an addition on the house?
Well, the difference between the federal government and the local government is the federal government prints more money when they run out. Or they borrow from our friends over in China. Well, the city of Springfield doesn't have those unlimited, if you will, or doesn't have those resources to do that. And so I think we just need to make sure that in 10 or 20 years that our grandkids and our kids don't wake up and the city of Springfield debt is either larger than it is now or it's still stuck up there in a three-digit million, you know, dollars setting a number. So, and I just hope that we – but you got to stop spending so you can start saving.
Well, and that's right. And what they think of all the time is well, let's go ahead and spend more, and then we can figure out a way to pay for it later. That happens all the time in city government and, you know, I don't know. Or let's go have our congressmen go get some federal money for us. You know, like the federal money doesn't cost us, you know. I always like that when somebody says, well, it was a federal grant. Well, yeah, somebody said, you know, give me that $10 out of your wallet. I'm going to give it to this person. I'll call it a grant. But do you think most people really truly understand how that stuff works?
I made the comment at the newsletter that I want there to be a consistency from the local level all the way up to the federal level when it comes to our tax money. This idea that, you know, we want Congressman Long, you know, Billy Long to, you know, stop earmarks. But, boy, if earmarks get passed, we're ready to take them down here on the city council level. I don't, you know, we've got to stop that. And we've got a mayor and other council members right now who says, if they're sending it, we're taking it. And it, when you have that attitude, that's a disastrous for a conservative city. That's a sad statement that our mayor made. You know, when it comes to stimulus funds and other grant money. So,
well, I'm going to disagree with you on something. What conservative city?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I do not consider Springfield a conservative city. Okay, maybe compared to San Francisco, but yeah. That's it. I mean, I really don't consider conservative. I mean, the area is basically conservative, but it's like St. Louis City used to be. I grew up in St. Louis. The city was pretty liberal, but if you went out in some of the suburbs, it was very conservative. You know, but it's almost like that in Springfield, because Springfield is not a conservative city. You know, it can compare to what people actually think. But I understand why you said it.
Well, and the reason why, and I was talking about consistency. And I tried to impart this to the reporters at the News Leader is. We have four of the five state reps that serve Springfield a Republican. But yet, if you look at our city council makeup, you could argue that six out of the nine, maybe even seven out of the nine that are on city council right now are moderate to very liberal. I mean, so it's almost a contradiction where our state representatives tend to be more conservative, but we elect city council members that tend to be, you know, and of course you can take it up to the state level. We have a conservative general assembly and a governor who can be more liberal. So it's almost like the voters just—it's just whatever their whim is. So I don't know. It's frustrating for a candidate.
Now there's something. Oh yeah, and this is why it's important that we know who you guys are, because the tendency is to believe that if you're a Republican, you're conservative. If you're a Democrat, you're not. And Young Conservatives, who has the legislative committee, has found out quite different, haven't they?
I have heard that, yes.
Yes, there are a lot of Democrats who are much more conservative than Republicans. But the, you know, when you go out for an election, all of a sudden, I mean, how many people go out there and act liberal anywhere when it comes to when they're running for election? They all act conservative, don't they?
Right, that's correct, yes, because they also realize that conservative voters tend to be more informed or try to get more informed. So,
well, you know, I used to think they were. I'm not so sure they are anymore. I'm really not, because when I talk to a lot of conservative voters, even on the ballot issues, okay, I call it pick and choose conservatism. You know, on the ballot issues, they'll say, yeah, I think they really ought to watch that money. But, yeah, I think they ought to stop the – you know, they shouldn't allow those business owners to go ahead and have people smoke in their place. I mean, yeah, they should stop that. And I look at these people and I go, and you're what? You're a conservative? How do you say that? You know, how would you like somebody to come in here and tell you this? Well, that's not the same thing. You know, so I'm a little concerned sometimes when people say, yes, I'm conservative, but in reality, they're not. You know, and
right.
I guess one other thing is, why do we need the foot of government on our throat to keep us from doing things? How many times you ever heard somebody say, well, I don't smoke. I mean, I smoke, but you know what? If they do that ban, that'll make me stop smoking.
The other thing, and I was going to – I forgot to mention this earlier. I went to a Live Free Springfield, or I went to the – you know, went to a discussion they had, and – the reason why you could argue, and this is the best argument to make, and no one's really making it in the media so far, and hopefully I think Nick Reed is making it on the radio a little bit, but is the fact that the e-cigarette is outlawed if this passes. The e-cigarette, it's not a real cigarette. It's a machine that gives the person nicotine and puts off water vapor. So, I mean, this idea that, I mean, and why did they want to ban the e-cigarette? Because it looks like one, I guess, so. And that's the most frustrating part of that bill, is that something that's not even a real cigarette is also being outlawed. So it's not about health. It's about aesthetics, I guess.
Well, you know, I grew up when they used to have candy cigarettes. And I don't smoke, by the way. But when I was a kid, heck yeah, I had those things in my mouth. It was cool, you know. But did I want smoke on the end of it? No, I didn't. I mean, it was silly. But people are going to smoke or they're not going to smoke. That's it, you know. And I want to say something about you were talking about KSGF and Nick Reed. You know, this is what bothers me sometimes, and I'm going to attack them a little bit for the fact that, you know, one of the companies is Incredible Pizza, who is for, you know, the clean air thing that they're calling it. But KSGF went over there and had a big party at Incredible Pizza. So it's like, oh, I see. So you say it this way, but you still go ahead and you patronize the business who's doing this and you don't believe it. I have issues with that. I don't know if you do, but I do, you know.
Well, I think, and you brought up a good point. Brahms is another person, is another company that is supporting the Clean Air Springfield group. And what's funny about that is both Incredible Pizza and Brahms do not, they've never allowed smoking.
Right.
You know, so they're really a business on the outside looking in. But I think what's happening is this is a popular chamber of commerce / you know, this is the, you know, get on the bandwagon. So when this thing passes, you can say, oh yeah, I was all for it, and you know, I'm part of the community and I'm supporting the good legislation. When in reality, it's not. But you know, obviously, this may be a marketing ploy so they can say, yeah, we were involved. I mean, it was. One way to look at it, if you want to be real, you know, if you want to get real, I don't know what the word is, you know, but real negative about it is maybe that these companies are doing this so they can jump on the bandwagon and get some kind of positive, you know, feedback from their customers and say, hey, look what we did for you.
You know, it's funny you should say that because a couple years ago when I held the first tea party, tea parties were by the media, if you remember correctly, there's going to be trouble and all this other stuff. And I remember we had the first one over at Cruising 66. The reason we had it there is I went around to different places and I asked the business owners, and you would be shocked at how many said, oh, no, I can't have that kind of trouble there. And I said, what trouble? Well, there's going to be trouble here. It's not going to be you. It's going to be the protesters. To this day, every tea party we've had, we've never had anything like that. In fact, I'll tell you, were you at the first tea party a couple years ago at Cruising 66?
I know I was at the last one for sure in 2010. I can't remember if I was at the one in 09 or not. But
okay, well, KY3 showed up, and there was one black gentleman who was there, okay? And I think they went there thinking, oh good, it's a black guy. And they went straight to him, and then he shocked them by saying he was a conservative. But that's the kind of stuff that goes on. And it's like there was one black person, and they went straight to him.
Do you know who that black person was?
Yes.
Yeah, Art Hodge, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly.
He was my opponent in the primary race for city council. So.
And he showed up.
He showed up. Well, yeah, he's conservative. So.
Yeah, he's conservative. You know, so I don't think they knew it. And that's why they went to him, because they thought, hey, this could be really good. But, you know, okay, so when you become a councilman, how do you like that? What is it? Okay, everybody's got something in particular deep down that they want to go for. What is it you think you want to go for?
Well, my main goal, if I'm on city council, is to make sure that when I leave in 2015 that our sales tax rate goes back below 7%. And I mean, I'm saying that 7% isn't a total. I support the fair tax, so I realize that if we get that passed on the state level, that we'd have a sales tax higher than that. But the city taxes drop from 7.6 to at least below 7 again. And the way to do that is, I think, is not to renew the pension tax, because that's a 3/4 cent tax right there. And that comes up in the next 3 years for a vote. So,
you know, I asked the captain and not the captain. Help me out. The guy in charge. I asked
chief,
him.
Please.
Yes, chief. The chief. There you go. I asked him. I said, why weren't you aware that this money wasn't going in? You know, why is it that you just said, well, it's not in. I'm not worried about it. He said, well, that wasn't our job. It's like, no, wait a minute. If somebody's not put money in my pension plan, I'm going to be calling them on it. Nobody took responsibility for that. And all they did was go to the taxpayers and say, well, we didn't do our job, and you know, the fireman said, well, we weren't watching, but it doesn't matter because you still got to take care of us. And sure enough, the people of Springfield went ahead and did it. And I was stunned by that. You know, just people, make them watch themselves. Why are we, you know, it's our fault, by the way, that these people are in office anyway. I mean, if you don't get in and it ends up being a big mess, which it probably will be anyway, not if you are there, of course, you know, but if it is, it's the voters' fault. That's why Obama's there. That's why we have terrible, terrible representation, you know, to begin with.
I was speaking of Texas, since I mentioned that, one of the that's not my opponent, it's one of the female candidates for office, made the comment that, well, 7.6 isn't that bad. It's not, compared when you compare it to everyone else, it's not bad. And, you know, that comment kind of hit me, and it just hit a real raw nerve when she made that comment. She was sitting next to me on the in the row of candidates, and I just, that the idea, we benchmark ourselves to everyone else, and so that's the biggest concern, I would say, for municipalities around the country, is if your benchmark city is doing it, then you should do it too. It's almost like we need to we need to conform to what everybody else is doing. So if it's high taxes, high fees, big parks, huge libraries, whatever it is, it's keeping up with the Joneses, or it's just conforming to what other cities are doing that are like you.
You know, and in business, it's completely opposite. When you go there, I mean, when you go to Best Buy and you compare it with some of these other places, you go, no, wait a minute, I can get that same TV down the street cheaper. You know, they don't go, hey, look, we raised our prices, so we weren't quite as high as they were. That's not what business does. I mean, you're in a car business. You go out there and say, well, we're just slightly lower than the guy down the street. You know, and he raises prices, but we raised ours too, but we're slightly lower. I mean, business doesn't work that way. I mean, it's ridiculous, but for some reason, I always say college graduates, they get out of college and have no clue about the world, by the way. I just totally believe that. You have, I guess, you're from Missouri State, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you have a degree.
And I agree with you. I didn't know anything coming out of college. College does not prepare you for the real world. The real world does a good job of teaching you you got to get out there and really experience the work world before you. And I've learned a lot in my 7 years at where I currently work. So,
well, you know,
I learned in the 4 years that I studied at under the professors at Missouri State. So,
well, yeah, that's so, and you survived anyway. Yeah, I've talked to some of those professors, believe me. Well, one of the comments I heard last night, and this is where people really truly don't get it, is somebody mentioned the fact that, you know, I think they ought to bring uniforms in. And uniforms would help because then people, you know, they were talking about the gangs and all this stuff, you know. And I'm listening to this, it's like, oh, please. And finally, I had enough, and I said, no, wait a minute. Do you realize that you're just adding to the cost of, you know, what we're doing right now? And, oh, no, the people have to pay for it. It's like, do these people live on another planet? If you have another requirement, then all of a sudden, you know for a fact that how many of those people are going to put their hand up and say, I can't afford to buy uniforms, you're going to have to buy them for me. So they keep adding to the cost, is all I'm saying. You cannot continue to add to the cost, and then I expect somebody else to pay higher taxes.
One of the questions that came up last night was, which service in Springfield could you see being privatized? And my answer was the bus system. It cost us 7 times the revenue to run the bus system. I mean, it's a seven. I know they're losers nationwide, and I said that, but they don't make a profit because of what they are. But I said the fact that we got $1 million in revenue, and it cost us $7.5 million to run it. I mean, if you ran a business like that, you'd be out by the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to think about those things. These are things you have to do. See, and for me, when I listen to some of this garbage, we homeschool our 14-year-old. I can't, and nobody's coming there to help us, and we're not wealthy, and it doesn't cost as much as they say, and frankly, you know, I don't, were you at the school board meeting last night?
No, but I know it cost $8,400 to educate my child, my fourth grader at Calden, and I guarantee if I had three or four kids and they just write me a check for about $30,000, I'd stay at home and I'd homeschool myself.
Yes, and you do what, a whole lot cheaper. I'd take half of it. Right now, I'd take any of it because we get to pay taxes. Then we get to have everybody else's children there. But and I had made a comment one time. I said, maybe I should run for school board. They go, well, no way. You don't have any kids in school. I said, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't have any kids in school. In fact, I homeschool. Well, no, there's no way you should do it because you'd be biased. So I guess if you have kids in school, you're not biased.
Well,
I'm biased to the taxpayers.
And I thought about running for school board, and I like the five candidates that we had to choose from. And I think two of them are very conservative. So I know who I'm voting for April 5th. But I would argue that the people don't realize that it's, you know, it is about the kids and it's about the education. But there's other stakeholders, and they're business owners, and there's a large number of taxpayers out there, and those people are just as important as far as the stakeholders of the school district than are the teachers and the students and the parents.
Yeah, where did it ever? I mean, wasn't the school board about the citizens were going to guide the way they wanted their schools to go, not the citizens, not the kids, you know, the students' parents. I mean, you know, there's people out there who never had children. They should have a voice too. You know, maybe that's the way we should do it. We should say, okay, we're going to have seven positions, of course, on the school board. One of them has to be a businessman that's never had kids in school. Maybe that's the way they ought to do it, and therefore at least split it up a little bit so they go out there and it's like, well, yeah, I've got three kids in this school. They're wonderful, and I want to make sure they're continuing to be wonderful. You know, there's something wrong there, you know, that the people – you know, who have the kids are the only ones that are on the school board, or they used to be. Or the other thing is teachers. Because I did see the teachers in these – I know what two you're talking about. I did see the teacher part come out, and you could tell a lot of that's in the box. No offense. I think they're both great guys, but you could see that somewhat.
Right.
You know, do you see that too as a – you know, somebody watching, you know, what's going on in the school board race, or do you pay attention to that?
Well, I went to one of their forums. I went to the MSTA forum that they had, and I could tell immediately who they were going to vote for one of their endorsements, and I was pretty confident of the other one, and I was proved right. And so my wife, I joke, we have a Maria Shriver-Arnold Schwarzenegger relationship. My wife doesn't tend to be as conservative as I am, so... and so I was confident who my wife would have voted for, which is the opposite two people that I would have voted for, you know, and that's okay. And sure enough, they got the MSTA endorsement. But as sitting there listening to them, they sounded like nice people, and they sounded like, you know, very informed and smart people. But they just – the school board's going to be the same. It's just going to be changing the placards, you know, on the school board, pretty much with these folks, and I think it's going to take conservatives to come out in earnest in 2 weeks to get one of the two guys that I feel like can make a big difference on school board.
Yeah, I don't see it happening very easily.
Right.
But that goes back to the point when you said it's a conservative city. It's like, no, wait a minute. Most of the people we have on the city council aren't conservative, really. And the school board.
We have one conservative on city council. We have a couple of moderates. We've got a libertarian, obviously. That's my opponent. And then everybody else, boy, they just lean to the left. I mean, I don't know if they've leaned to the right much in their lives. So,
well, and let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed, though, that most of the people that lean left when they're running for office usually were college either teachers or something like that? They're rarely business people, rarely. Usually they're educated, you know, something like that. They've been in the government one way or the other most of the time, or in the colleges. You ever notice that?
I think what you're seeing in our city council is you're seeing people who may have been fiscally conservative, but then when they get elected – are more fiscally conservative, but when they get elected, they just kind of throw that out the window. Because sometimes being fiscally conservative is extremely unpopular. And the popular thing to do is to get the projects going, is to get the money flowing, is to build the big venues. And it's so easy to be a person who's going to support those things. And of course, when you find out you can't pay for it, you just tap the taxpayers and say, let's tax it.
Yeah, we got to have that. You got to do it for the kids. You know, I want to do something for my kid. I don't want you to keep taking my money so you can do something for all the rest of the kids. You know, and of course, as they tell me, you've opted out. I always like that. You opted out. No, you pushed me out. That's how I always say it. Well, okay, back to the city council here. You're running against a libertarian. What do you think of this? I mean, you going to have a good chance or what?
I do. I mean, you know, I respect Doug and what he brings to the city council. But the main reason I'm running is, number one, I want to be on council. This is why I'm running for the second time in 2 years. And secondly, I think it's going to take. I'll use this in the next 2 weeks as the election gets closer. We need to send Councilman Nicobar reinforcements. I know he's a Marine. I'm not a veteran. I did serve in the Army for a short time in ROTC, but we need to send the man reinforcements. And we also need to take what I consider is we need 3 or 4 conservatives on council to stand up to the other side, which is not conservative, which includes the mayor of our city. And we've got to stand up to him as a unit. And my opponent is going to be, because he's a libertarian, he's always going to be kind of middle of the road on things. And he has joined the mayor and others on council to raise our taxes. And I felt like there was a way to get around that. And there was plans out there that we could have raised the tax a very small amount, or we could have had a tax neutral plan. And that was frustrating. That's why I'm running.
Yeah, I'm going to have him on sometime. And somebody told me once that it's really interesting. The Libertarian Party is always trying to get me to join it. I'm not a member of any party anymore. And one of the things he says, it's amazing how they're libertarian until they're elected. Then all of a sudden they become very liberal because they want to be popular. And I guess maybe the first question we should ask you guys, do you really give a rat's patoot if you're popular?
I can tell you this. If I get 50.1% of the vote, which makes me barely popular, that's the only way to win, obviously, but I can live with that. So, and if I only get one term because I do things that the other 49.9% of people plus the 2 to 3 tenths of a percent of they can persuade people to vote against me the next time, I can live with that too. So,
well, I honestly believe though that if you go in there with the attitude I'm hearing right now, and if people did this, it would actually work better than they expect. But unfortunately, it ends up being like what they do in D.C. They act conservative, and then all of a sudden they go to D.C. and they vote totally different or play those games to where they appear to be conservative, but they're really not. So I would like that. Look at Chris Christie. It's working for him.
Yes.
You know, he's slashing things. He's doing – I mean, those are the kinds of people I think that maybe you ought to be looking at or something like that as far as like helping you with yours. Or do you point out – let me ask you this. I mean, we don't ask these questions very often. Can you point out some things with your opponent that you just said, no, this isn't right? You know, you say you're libertarian, but why are you voting this way? Are there any votes or anything he's done in particular that you aren't too fond of?
Yeah, one of the things that libertarians tend to support that Republicans do not is he was pushing for a legislative priority of medical marijuana. You know, him and Dan Childs were. Dan Childs is fighting prostate cancer, so he's emotionally involved in that particular issue. But Doug, which is to my knowledge not dealing with cancer or anything like that, is our principal believes that you should be able to smoke marijuana for medicinal purposes in the state of Missouri. And Cindy Reshefsky said it right when she said, we'll be the laughingstock of Missouri if we put that on our legislative priority list. But yet he voted for it, and he brought it up as a discussion. And that's one thing that I feel like, and then, like I said, going back to the taxes, it hurts people worse than the wallet. And Doug Burleson has voted with Tom Carlson and with Jim O'Neill to raise our taxes, and And I will vote with Nick Barr, Fred Ellison, and others who are going to vote not to raise your taxes.
Right. You know, the when you brought up the medical marijuana thing, I'll tell you what, I'm old enough. I think the drug war has been a disaster. I think the drug war actually causes more crime than legalizing it. I really do. And I know a lot of Republicans don't like that, and you may not like it, whatever, but I just do because I grew up in the cities, and I saw what happened when you made those drugs very valuable. And when you do that, there's so much involved that people that's never lived that don't understand. I don't even think a lot of libertarians that vote for it actually have a clue what it does. But to me, the drug war actually promotes crime instead of the opposite. I know a lot, and you may not agree with that, but I'm telling you, that's been my experience. I mean, I've got a family that love drugs. You know, I mean, came from a big family in St. Louis, and I never got involved in it, but I could tell you the drug, you know, the how valuable those drugs were. Well, look down in Arizona. What's going on?
Right.
You know, I mean, those things, it's not working. But
yeah, and I see I as somebody who has tried to be informed, especially through this last congressional race with the Libertarian candidate, I see the principles behind why when you make something legal, it makes it less, you know, there's advantages to making things legal. It's just I that's one issue that I think most Springfield residents want to continue to keep illegal is those types of things. There's a percentage that likes the idea of keeping it illegal, but I think 70-80% of Springfieldians agree with me, and that's one of the reasons why I would take that position that we should keep it illegal in Missouri.
Well,
so.
to be honest with you, to me, most people have been brainwashed to think that, and I would agree that it's not a very popular position. You know, I don't know. To me, it's like you probably are right, but I think it should be more done on the federal level and the state level. It really shouldn't be done on the city council level, I think. You know, but I don't really, but frankly, when I hear somebody says they'll laugh at us, I couldn't care less if they laughed at us. You know, if you're doing the right thing, because you got to remember, there's a lot of things you may want to do that they're going to laugh at too.
Right.
So I'm not defending Doug here. I'm just saying that I think so much of that is silliness.
I just wanted to bring it up. There's a lot of people who don't know, because it's a nonpartisan election, we don't talk about some of the core beliefs of each party that the person represents. You know, like, and I'm pro-life. I mean, obviously that's not a local issue, but there are people out there that would rather have a pro-life person representing them in local government than someone who's pro-choice, you know, or somebody, you know, I'm not for amnesty of illegal immigrants, and I would pass, you know, if we needed to pass some city legislation to help law enforcement or to help employers, I would be all for that. I think we need to, you know, try to cut off some of the illegal labor that we've got going on. So,
well, a lot of those things are federal issues, and they should be taken care of. That I think, and if anything, you guys should be worried about how to spend money in Springfield, where to not spend it,
Right. Sell
the property that's sitting there doing nothing. I mean, that's every municipality and state, you know, county and state, and all they got all this property and sits there. Then you have city and county and statewide, you know, federal people taking care of property we own that we shouldn't even be owning. Why aren't they selling it? I even brought that up in the fire and policemen. I said, why doesn't the city just go ahead and sell a lot of stuff that they own and get rid of it and use that money to dump in the pension fund? But that wasn't going to work because taxes are obviously the only way to do anything. Oh, I know what it was. But the way government works is, well, we can't do it from that department because we can't touch money in that department. It has to come from another place. Yeah, the taxpayers.
And I think a lot of the property that the city of Springfield has accumulated over time is through condemned property, blighted property, what have you. And then what's happened is instead of turning right around and liquidating that property, they've held on to it. Some of it's control, but some of it, they'll own corners, and you wonder why they own the corner house. It's because they have grandiose plans of creating XYZ this, XYZ that, and there's some master plan out there So let's hold on to the property for 20 or 30 years, and one day we'll put, you know, we'll put this there, we'll put that there. You know, that's the plan. I mean, it's okay to have plans. It's just, I think we should probably do more of what you're talking about, is when we acquire property for whatever reason, I think we should try to liquidate it just as soon as possible so we can use those funds on core services like police and like fire and things like that.
Right. And I agree with you. I mean, because those things have to stop. We just cannot continue to – we can't continue to do the same thing. I mean, we just got to do something different. So, you know – When I look at why won't they sell the stuff? I mean, if you get there, why won't they sell the stuff?
I saw something on KY3 last night, and there's a piece of property, and I don't know if the city owns it or if I think the city owns it, and it used to have a house on it or something, and it's gone. A woman wants to put a home for unwed teens or something there. And it's not in the greatest part of town. It's at the corner of College in Missouri, and she had all the paperwork ready for it. And now the neighborhood's saying, well, maybe we don't like that there. And of course, when I saw where it was, I mean, you know, those people have every right to have an opinion in West Central neighborhood, but it's at College in Missouri. I mean, if there's any good place for a building like that, for a nonprofit organization to build a nice house, that's a perfect part of town for that. It's, you know, a few blocks from the square. It's real close to, you know, I mean, to a lot of the services that those young girls will need.
Right, but the perception, it doesn't work too well there because, you know, all of a sudden, you know what it is. Well, they got themselves pregnant. There's going to be guys around and drugs and all that stuff. That's exactly what they're going to say. You know, people don't do the research. You should know that.
Right.
That's unfortunate, too, because they don't do the research, and then they get this perception, this is what it is, and you're right. Because actually in St. Louis, I remember they had a home like that in a pretty decent area, and they kept the place super clean. You know, these were people, you know, kids that got themselves pregnant, and a lot of them weren't too happy about it, but, you know, that's what happened. So I'm with you on that one. I think it's silly, but I don't know. You should be allowed to have what you want in your neighborhood too. That's for sure. So that's kind of a tough one in a way. But still, I don't know. I don't know, Chris.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, that there is there's a trustee relationship and there's a delegate relationship when it comes to city government. And you know, I'm going to try to be a trustee. It's easy. You know, the whims of the people, if you will, or if the, you know, the popular movement, people change their minds all the time about different issues. And so, you know, all you can do as a city councilman is, you know, weigh what the people are thinking, but you have to use your own principles, your own belief system, your
right.
own values. And you have, as long as you put those out there before you get elected, if you stick with those, I don't think it's going to be, it shouldn't be a surprise to people when you vote a certain way.
Right. Hey, listen. We're about done here. I just want to tell you, if you show up at the tea party, please, we're gonna let you people talk a little bit so you can maybe garner some votes, you know, for the good candidates. You know, a lot of the candidates
Great.
Won't show up. Everybody's been invited, but I assure you the liberal candidates won't be there. So make sure you get there and meet the people. And if there's people you know, have them show up at the tea party so they can meet all the other ones and know who to vote for. You know, that's important. Okay. Hey, appreciate you coming on, buddy. Okay, and I'll
yes,
see
sir.
You a
thanks,
week from Saturday.
Thanks for your time.
Okay. And
all right,
we'll
see you April 2nd.
I'll be there. Okay. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
That was,
all right. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, folks. That was Christopher Donegan. He's running for city council. It sounds like a good young man. Man, we need some really good young candidates like that because, frankly, I'm sick to death of these people that go up there, spend 30 years in government, and don't do a darn thing. It would be so nice to see a change. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Kind of a surprise, but I'll let you know. Just look on the web. Go to superdaveshow.com. Appreciate you coming on tonight and listening. And we will see you tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
You can't quit.
And why not? I get fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
Thanks. I needed that.